broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And I'm going to fight them right back.
I think it's a little inappropriate at a very young age.
Who is the opposition that we're supporting? Make no mistake.
Duty.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night to, take you to places that most talk shows can't go to, wouldn't go to, shouldn't go to. You know how it is.
Yeah.
This is a show for patriots, by patriots, and we're very happy to be with you tonight. Very, very happy indeed. We're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight. We're going to be talking about holidays. We're going to be talking about the traditional holidays and what some people want to do with those traditional holidays. We need to lock arms. We need to lock arms. Yeah. And as one, protect this great country from all manner of revision and all manner of not only revision, but in the name of new ideas, taking this country backward as well. So you can either do it as a sort of a revisionist stunt, or you can say, this is something that makes us much, much better, and it's strictly old school, old world, FDR, you know how it goes. All right, the number is 877-876-PHIL. Parents are upset over breast milk baby dolls that let them let kids simulate breastfeeding. Get a load of that. It's very important if you have a little girl who's about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. She's got to know right away about breastfeeding. Must get the kid ready for breastfeeding. You know, we wouldn't have to get these kids ready for as much as we do if, as adults, we behaved a little better. Why do you got to get a kid ready for breastfeeding? Because that, when she's going out in the world, that's what she's looking at. And, of course, it's just the absolute necessary and, it's the right of every woman to pull it out and breastfeed your kid right there, regardless of what a little kid sees. A town in Ohio takes out the word Easter from their Easter egg hunt to avoid offending anyone. We're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association about a similar move that they have made in their gated community there. Plus, we'll tell you why one New Yorker, maybe one of the most unlucky guys in the world, Bob Green, will be on with us as well. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, KRCN 1060 AM in Denver, and KZYM 1230 AM in Joplin, Missouri, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And this afternoon, of course, we had our Hendry Emotionally Fragile rant, if you saw that, and if you're looking at the live streaming video, Phil TV in HD right now on our website, you can see that we're taking a look at CNN right now and what's happening in Syria. And that's a whole other thing, man. Wait till we get into our news and commentary hour in the third hour. 877-876-PHIL is the number. In the state of Ohio and in a small town there in Ohio, they are talking about getting rid of the annual Easter egg hunt. In fact, they have gotten rid of it. They've taken Easter out of the egg hunt this year in an effort to avoid offending any of the residents. As the White House is preparing for its annual Easter egg roll, a tradition dating back to 1878, some in the community of Munson Township are asking if it's okay in Washington. How come they can't do it in Munson Township? Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association in San Fernando Valley in Western Estates, California. It's not good enough there either?
Well, it isn't that Easter's not good enough, Phil. I think Easter is good enough for people who celebrate Easter. And I think Easter is good enough for people who are Christian and who obviously observe that holiday. I don't think Easter is good enough, though, Phil, for people who are not necessarily Christian. And it's important for us to observe their spiritual or their religious traditions and holidays. And as a homeowners association president, that really is my primary job, to ensure that the people that live here in our gated community are doing so in harmony and doing so to better enable their neighbors to have a good life as well as themselves.
All right, but what you're doing in your community and in others is, were you inspired by any one of these towns, by the way?
No, I don't. I'm not. That's really, anyone that knows me knows that I don't do that. I don't follow. I like to think that I'm a trendsetter. I like to think that I come up with things on my own, and I know my husband would probably... My husband's here right now.
Yeah, he comes up on my own.
That is really kind of the hallmark of my tenure as the Homeowners Association president.
All right, so you were not, in other words, you didn't read the news here, Ms. Dooley, and say, oh, wow, I think I'll do that.
Oh, no, that is the last thing that I do. Anyone that knows me knows that I am not a follower. I like to think I'm a trendsetter, whether it is in on the topic of fashion, if it's on the topic of home decoration, if it's on the topic of landscaping, anything that has to do with our homeowners association, I'm very much a trendsetter.
Now, you have a annual, I think, spring event that you call a Springtacular. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
All right. And it is traditional at your homeowners association to have your Easter egg hunt or Easter egg roll a week before?
What we're having this year is the Springtacular Family Fun Day, which is 1 week before. That is correct.
Well, is that the same as the Easter egg hunt?
We really don't want to make a comment on that. I don't want to call it what you've called it. What we do call it is our Springtacular Family Fun Day.
Well, did you have an Easter egg hunt last year?
We had an event that we decided to do away with based upon the religious concerns that I've mentioned, yes.
And all right, so it sounds to me like you don't want to say the word.
Well, I did at the outset of your interview with me, Mr. Hendry, but to say that we had what you mentioned, to say that I think is offensive to the great many people who are not.
Well, let me ask you this, Ms. Dooley. Do you have Muslims living in your... I shouldn't say Muslims. Anyone, non-Christians living in your community that have complained?
We have Christians living in our community. If you know anything about the San Fernando Valley in Southern California, mostly we have Jewish people and Christian people. I'm not aware of any Muslims. I don't think it would be right of me to say, well, oh, look, there's a Muslim, because...
that's the profiling.
Yeah, my husband said that is the profiling. And so we don't profile. If that's what you're asking, no, we don't.
No, I'm not asking if you profile. I'm asking if you're aware of anyone in your community who has complained.
I am not really, that's not really what we do at Western Estates. We are very proactive here, Phil.
All right, so the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is we're proactive, and the answer is we do what we need to do to make sure that our community is comfortable. The people that live here is comfortable or is comfortable. And that we have a community that serves everyone here.
All right, okay. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. There might be some people listening who are sort of sensing that I'm having a difficult time. And I'm not complaining, Ms. Dooley. I think you're trying to be honest with me.
If there is anything, I think what you probably are sensing, Phil, is that I, as I said, I'm very proactive. I don't wait for people to tell me, oh, guess what they're doing in some, you know, village in Ohio. I mean, this is Los Angeles. We don't really take our cue from the name of this town. From the Munson Township.
No, I understand you don't take your cue. No, good. Ms. Dooley, if I may, and I have very strong opinions on this, and I think you know what they are. We have traditions in our country. We have culture in our country. It's my belief that you don't have to be religious. You don't have to have any religion at all to enjoy, for instance, Christmas or Easter. It doesn't necessarily have to offend you. I know a great many people who are who consider themselves to be atheists who like Christmas. They like the festival of Christmas. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them when they see a tree. They like Easter. It's an aspect of the culture, you know.
But we do have, Phil, the Constitution of the United of America. And in that, if you've read it, it says, no, you will not go. You won't have religion and the state.
But you have a private homeowners association that has nothing to do with state. It has nothing to do with tax dollars. You know, unless, of course, you're talking about...
Well, it's about the homeowners association.
The homeowners association fees, Phil, are fees that are paid by everyone. They are paid by Muslim, Jew, Jain, Buddhist.
Well, I asked you a moment ago if you're just saying that as a framer. You don't really have Buddhists?
I don't go around asking people invasive questions like that, but I'm sure we do. And they don't pay the homeowners association fees. They do pay them, but they don't pay them to have something called Easter rammed up their throats. And so,
all right, but when you say the Constitution, the separation of church and state, I understand that. What I believe, and I'll throw this out there for you, and I'll throw this out there for any of my callers. I believe that even a state-sponsored or a state-run or a state-financed place like a public park or a public square, I believe, can support religious displays because it no longer necessarily represents religion so much as it just represents tradition and history of the country. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I don't get involved in that kind of...
Well, it's complicated, Mr. Renner. It's not going to be all...
Yeah, I don't get into these I just know what the law says. And the law says you will separate it out. And
well, the law's got nothing to do with you is what I'm saying. Do you understand? The law has to do... Look, to be honest, and again, forgive me, but I'm sick and tired, and a lot of people are sick and tired, of kowtowing to people that are offended by Christian tradition or it's to me, it's American tradition or Jewish tradition. It's American tradition. It happens to have been the religion of a primary... the primary body politic of this country. Now, I know that we have Muslims and we have Buddhists and we have all kinds of people. It doesn't necessarily mean that we all have to be upset or offended by something that's culturally traditional. And this political correctness that is now, you know, devolved to your little homeowners association.
We don't have a little, you know, we have 7,000 square foot homes. We've got people here. We could probably buy and sell, Mr. Henry, that little town that you mentioned in Ohio. So what I'm doing more than anything else is I made a decision as the Homeowners Association president, and I want to make sure that people know that I am the Homeowners Association president. As you know, we had a problem with the iodine after the Japanese reactor situation. A lot of people were questioning whether I had the right to tell people who gets iodine. So this is not just an important test of religious free separation of the state and the church. It's also an important test of loyalty to me as the Homeowners Association president. And
the loyalty to you for what?
Loyalty to me so that when I say...
But she said it's important.
What I say is going to go... in the Homeowners Association. And, you know, we're looking, and my eyes are open, and we're watching people. Because I've said there will be no Easter. Well, I just said the word, and I did want to say it.
Ms. Dooley, we're going to take a break here, all right?
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. This woman and her husband and their Homeowners Association have gotten rid of the Easter egg hunt. Because it's religiously, you know, it's a religious holiday or it's a religious event, and they don't want that. They're having the Springtacular Family Fun Day. That's all great. And now she's telling me that, well, this is an important decision because she's the Homeowners Association president, and she wants to make sure that people are following her.
Well, you remember, I was the lady who said she was going to pass out the iodine.
I know she was the woman that said she was passing out the iodine. Now she's saying that she has to test people's loyalty to her. What has happened to Easter, Christmas? What has happened to our... It doesn't mean we have to hate people. It doesn't mean that we hate anybody. But we have something we call an Easter egg hunt. We have something that we call a Christmas tree. These things are cultural and traditional and historical as well as religious. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Your call's coming up next. Next hour, we have Bob Green to talk with us about the lottery. We have our news and commentary hour. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, with live streaming video, Phil TV and HD, right now.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, as you know. And it's going to take a lot of people, man, to keep on keeping on here, to keep marching arm in arm here as we talk with the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, Bobby Dooley, and her husband, Steve. And Ms. Dooley, the Easter egg hunt that you don't want to talk about that has been banned by your homeowners association was an annual event until this year. What are you going to call these Easter eggs now if you don't want to use the term Easter egg?
Well, we're not calling them anything. We're not allowing these Jesus eggs are not going to be allowed. It's going to be our spectacular family fun day, and we'll...
What does that mean?
What that means is, Phil, it will be a traditional family picnic, if you will.
One-legged sack and all that.
The different events they're going to have, the different things that people do at picnics, but the Jesus eggs...
And you're using this term Jesus egg. You know, it's called an Easter egg. It's something that people have done for many, many years in this country and around the world. We love it in our country. You know, we have the Easter bunny. You've just absolutely eliminated any reference to this longstanding American tradition of Easter.
It is a religious tradition as well, Mr. Hendry. And the religious symbols, such as these Jesus eggs that you're talking about, the so-called Jesus, this rabbit, or bunny.
How is the Easter bunny religious?
All of the what I'm trying to say to you is all of the symbolism of this event called Easter is going to be simply done away with, and we have no hostility, Phil. I think you're trying to make this a very hostile thing. There is nothing hostile about this. This is strictly something that we have done to make our community. Steve was talking about we had tried to come up with a compromise. The G-ster is what they called it, or as in Jesus, and the other word that I don't want to use. But these Jesus rabbits, the Jesus eggs, are not going to be used.
All right, I need to go remote because once again the phone system has gone down here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to whatever call you guys have. Unbelievable. Hello. Patrick, go ahead. Hi.
Hey, I don't know how you did it, but you picked the perfect example of the problem with the entire country.
Hello?
Is that it? Is that what you have to say? What is that?
Oh, no, that's right.
Well, why don't you keep on talking and tell us what it is you're talking about? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Me or the guest or who?
The husband.
Well, then talk to her, man.
Shut up. I don't understand who she thinks she is. She doesn't control anything. All she needs to do is collect her money for the homeowners association, keep the streets clean, and let the people make the decision. They're the ones who own the place, not her.
Who are you telling to shut up? Who are you telling to shut up?
I'm sorry?
Who are you telling to shut up? He happened... What do you mean, she? You're talking to me. Are you deaf? Are you elderly? Are you old?
You're yelling. Relax, lady.
Well, you're very old. You must be very old because you don't hear anything very well. You're not hearing what I'm saying.
I don't understand why you think you should run anybody's life except your own.
I'm the Homeowners Association president. Did you catch that part?
Big deal.
Yeah, he caught that
There's
part. Let me be the rude one.
The country.
I'm the homeowner. Look, you see all the time that you've wasted?
All right, I'll run the show. Thank you. 877-876. Phil will be back with Bobby Dooley on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about Easter. You know, Easter, Easter bunnies. Now, we are not even allowed to say the word Easter, at least not to my guest here, Ms. Dooley, from the, you know, and Bobby, you have every right, I guess, to have your opinion. The last gentleman trying to ask that question, he was saying, where are you getting off at telling people how to live their lives? You're a homeowners association president.
I am not telling anyone how to live their life, Phil. I'm saying that the homeowners association, that you don't have to participate in terms of the activities if you don't want to. We are not going to have these Jesus eggs and the Jesus bunny, as I mentioned. And
you won't even use the word Easter. What are you afraid is going to happen if you use the word Easter?
I'm not afraid of anything. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. I have been for the last 10 years. I know this community better than anyone. And I need some sign from the people here that they support me. And
well, is this about the Easter? Is this about Easter or is it about your power base?
I don't. Did you hear that?
Well, yeah, that's pretty funny, Mr. Henry.
This isn't about a power base, Phil. This is about me. Maintaining, you know, I'm very flustered.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, you've got a power base that you're supporting here. You have homeowners that you need to keep in line. All of this stuff that you're talking to me about that is very important to you, Easter comes at the expense. We're going to lose, or you're going to lose, or your people there, your homeowners, they're going to lose Easter. The children, they're going to lose it because you need to make sure that everybody is in line.
I am using Easter, if you want to use that word, and it troubles me very much to have to use it. I'm using it as a test case so that we can get our homeowners back in line behind me to support me following the very unfortunate outpouring of opinion having to do with iodine.
And all right, I understand that the iodine thing, that you wanted to be in control of that, but now what you're doing, and you don't hear me, do you? You don't hear what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Where have you been? There have been numerous Supreme Court cases telling people that they have to separate the church from the state. And it is in the Constitution. And
the church from the state is the church from the state, and we can discuss that all we want. But this is the Homeowners Association. And again, this is a situation where, you know, you're not even a state institution, Ms. Dooley. You're a private homeowners association. But more to the point, a private homeowners association, yours, has made the decision, well, we better get rid of Easter, and we better get rid of Easter eggs. We're going to call them Jesus eggs. We're not even going to call it Easter. We're calling it Family Fun Day. We won't have any eggs. Are the kids going to have candy? I mean, what in the name of everything holy is left of this holiday? Nothing. As the result of this so-called, what you read as a separation of church and state, you are not a state-sponsored entity. You're a private homeowners association.
Yes, that is exactly right. And as such, I have to make a judgment call. And the judgment call I'm making, I think, is the right one. And that is to say the following. We want you to come out and participate in our Springtacular Family Fun Day, but we're not going to have Jesus eggs, and we're not going to have the Jesus bunny.
Well, this thing about a Jesus bunny, are you telling me the Easter bunny is religious?
Excuse me? Get a load of him.
Where have you been?
Where have you been? Every year...
Where have I been? How is the Easter bunny religious?
Where have you been? Every year...
I'm going to ask the same question.
Every year that they have Easter, they have the...
Well, they always have a Jesus bunny.
They have that Jesus bunny. So that's a very curious point of view, Mr. Henry, very curious.
I've never heard it called a Jesus bunny, by the way. That's a first. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Abilene, Texas. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I just want to say they need to do their research, because Easter was actually a pagan holiday started after the fertility goddess Ashtar, and the bunny has nothing to do with Christianity at all. Secondly, we have a constitution that guarantees
people I thought they called him Jesus. I didn't know they called him Ashtar.
Apparently, they called him. Have it done your research, ma'am. Because
I thought his name was Jesus Christ. I thought his name was Jesus Christ. I didn't know his name was Ashtar.
All right, well, we're really at cross purposes here. It used to be a pagan holiday, and now it's not. Now it's a Christian holiday, so, you know, that's where that's at.
I mean, it's a pagan holiday is what I'm saying.
No, I understand that, sir. That's very I understand that, sir. That's common knowledge that it started as a pagan holiday. It was, as a matter of fact, all of the Christian holidays started as pagan holidays, and they were co-opted by the Christian church in order to spread Christianity. So here we are today with Easter, unless you're thinking of taking it back to a pagan level, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I think it would probably be much better than what we have now. And
well, then it would still be religious, wouldn't it?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, sir.
Why would it be religious if it's pagan? Yes.
Are you Christian or Muslim or Buddhist? Or
I would say that I'm probably Christian. If you were
based on what?
The fire. On what I was raised in, what they raised me at. Or where they
so you have a,
what do you mean
so
where
you
they took
a personal
you to?
Relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't use a lot of that born again stuff. That's born again.
Yeah, that's born again language.
Well, let me ask you this, what about the Constitution, and getting back to what this is really about, the fact that we have freedom guaranteed to be protected by our Constitution?
Yeah, we do have freedom,
and
we
have
freedom against
our country,
the
and we,
Jesus bunny.
Lay our Constitution aside for that.
Well, I understand, but we do have freedom from the Jesus bunny.
Freedom from the Jesus bunny.
That's the point of what we're talking about.
Political
well, yes, freedom. Because that was, what do you mean going back to that again? That was the original topic. I mean, I'm sorry that we can't change it to what you want to talk about, but I'm the guest. You're just a caller. And so
I'll decide who wins and who doesn't win. All right, sir, thank you. 877-876-7445 here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi. I've been listening to this,
yes, sir.
This comment about Jesus bunny.
Yes.
And I don't particularly care for the term this lady is using. There is no Jesus bunny.
You haven't seen it? Because every year it comes out. Every year there's a Jesus bunny that comes, that appears at all of these festivities. And we have to, you know, like anyone, any community that cares about the sanity of its people, we've banned it.
The sanity of its people.
Yes.
I feel you're using two terms there. You're using Jesus Christ, and you're using Easter Bunny. You cannot. You got to split the difference between them.
The Jesus. Right. I could call it Easter Christ, if you wanted me to say that. But I don't know where that brings us with relation to the bunny is still there, and you'll always have to deal with that.
Let me ask this gentleman. You don't like the idea of the Jesus. Now, you see, the thing about the Easter Bunny is that somehow that came to be a part of Easter. And I suppose it was something for the children.
But that's the point. It is a part of this celebration that I don't want to say the name of, but I don't want to call it the Jesus Bunny, but that's what it became. And so what we're saying is, let's just take the whole thing and get it out of here and start a family fun day or something where we don't have to deal with the Jesus egg and things of that nature. Is all we're saying.
Once again,
I think that helps the gentleman. Mm-hmm.
Once again, there you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You are making it sound as though Jesus is the is the Easter Bunny.
Well, if I say Jesus egg, am I saying that Jesus is an egg? Of course not.
Well, that's the interpretation I'm hearing.
Well, I think you need to expand your horizons a little bit. You know, move on up, as they used to say. You know, the Jefferson song? I don't know if you know the song, Moving On Up. To the east side. Move your mind to the east side, you know, and open it to the possibilities of the, oh, I don't know, the smell of the Chinese food.
What are you talking about?
Well, this man he wants to think that because I say Jesus egg, that Jesus is an egg. Well, it's patently absurd.
Yeah, that's patently absurd, sir. Of course not an egg.
Never would be. He's never been an egg. Except when he was in Mary's womb.
I have one question.
Part of an egg.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
At Christmas time, is it Jesus Santa Claus?
Is Jesus... That's a very good question, Steve.
We're going to look into that, but he looks like him.
He does. You know, they made him to look like him. Now, there is that old saying that Santa Claus is Jesus as an old man. I think that's ridiculous. I think that Kris Kringle is more a part of that paganism.
Well, then maybe the Easter Bunny is a part of the paganism, too. Maybe that's part of the pagan festival that was incorporated by Christianity.
Well, still it's incorporated, and still it's the Jesus Bunny. And
well, then what are you going to call Santa Claus? The Jesus Claus?
Santa Christ. You know?
This is all a lot of jive. You know, all right, well, look, I'll tell you, let's take a break. I appreciate your call very much, Stephen. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here to Bobby and Steve Dooley about the celebration of Easter there at Western Estates Homeowners Association, where they're getting rid of Easter, they're getting rid of the term Easter, getting rid of Easter eggs, getting rid of the Easter Bunny, getting rid of everything having to do, and guess why? Oh, well, because it offends people. It offends people. You know, I don't think it offends anybody. I think it just makes some people angry that they can't control the fun the rest of us have. And it is the fun that America has had. And they don't like America having fun because doesn't America get it? America must now be called to account for all of the prosperity and all of the happiness and all of the joy and all of the good that it has done in this world. America must now be vilified and turned into some kind of demon or evil, because it just can't be that America is that cool. You understand? So let's start with our traditions and our religions, and let's start working our way into every aspect of American life and begin to question it and make it kind of dark and moody and weird. And next thing you know, we're just going to think that this whole place is one big fat toilet. We ought to just go ahead and pull a chain on. Not me. No way, no way. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. What do you think? Do you think it's gone on long enough? Do you think that this whole bashing and separating out of church and state and Easter and all this stuff, do you think that taking the manger out of the city square, do you think that just like this town in Ohio, getting rid of Easter is the answer? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL.
Mm-hmm.
That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Bobby and Steve Dooley about the elimination at the Western Estates Homeowners Association in their gated community there. Pardon a little bit of the noise. We've got the internet going. We've got CNN going because we're kind of checking a couple of sources on some news stories tonight, and I think that will abate here in just a moment. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley, as we discuss this topic with you, and we're going to get back to some more of our phone callers. As we discuss this topic with you, it seems as if, and you mentioned it to me, it isn't so much getting rid of Easter, you want to just test the loyalty of the homeowners.
It's very important, Phil, that any homeowners association president wants to know where people stand, if in point of fact the people are, you know, are going to do what they're told. And
do what they're told, huh? So you're going to mess up my Easter?
Oh, Mr. Hendry, please resist the temptation to be Moses on the mountain. You know,
no, I mean, no, I'm sorry. I guess I can't, because you're going to screw up my Easter, the Easter of my children, the Easter of my friends, because you have to test the loyalty of people based upon this iodine thing.
It's a very difficult job, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on Hitler, okay? What I have to do as a homeowners association president... But if I don't do it, who will? And you're going to have this Jesus bunny controversy until the cows come home.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to Alan in Alaska this evening. Alan, how are you? Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my phone call. Short question to Bobby. Where at in the Constitution does it say separation of church and state?
Yeah, it says it in Article 2, I think. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, you look up, we talked about making no law that's going to make a religion.
Yeah, Congress will make no law respecting...
An establishment of religion, okay?
Yeah,
but yet our government takes Christmas off.
Congress will make no law. You have it at your sister's house? What did you say?
Congress did not pass
Congress
the law saying you celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with your sister.
He didn't say, he said Christmas.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Congress will make no law celebrating Christmas?
No, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, verbatim in the Constitution. It says nothing
exactly
about separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Congress
well,
did not...
separation of
Congress,
churches. That is separation of church and state. Mr. And I forget what your name is. Who's the gentleman?
Christmas off as a government.
You got off on Christmas?
The government does. Isn't your government office closed on Christmas? Don't your schools and your place close on Christmas? Your city hall?
But,
your state office?
But you don't have to call it Christmas. You can call it Family Fun Day.
Oh, come on. You're not. There's no reason why they're taking Christmas
day off. Why don't they take the day off for Christmas off instead of Christmas Day?
But they don't have to call it that. They could say, well, let's take it off.
Wait. The whole reason...
It doesn't matter if they call it Xmas.
No, here's what I'm saying. Do you know about Ski Week? Yes, you know about Ski Week. For people that are sickened by the idea of Christmas, they call it Ski Week.
Yeah. What do you mean people sickened by the idea of Christmas?
People that don't do it. They call it Ski Week.
Why do they even take it off at that time of year then? Why not take it off in November?
Because everybody else is taking it off, and they can't get
it. Why is it so
done
long when school starts in August until December to take any time break there? But yet between their winter break and their spring break is only 2.5 months. But yet they go 5 months from when the school starts until they take off in Christmas.
I don't follow you.
You heard the man. He said from the time they begin school till the time there's Christmas, there's hardly any extended break.
What about Thanksgiving?
They get two days off. Thanksgiving. And they're giving thanks.
That's only 2 days off.
What are they giving thanks for?
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Okay.
What are they giving thanks for?
So, what are they giving thanks for?
Yeah.
They're giving thanks for...
For God bringing them to this great country.
Well, that's what they said, but there were also Indians there.
They came here because of religious persecution.
Persecution.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right, Alan. That's exactly why they came here. And we're not saying that you have to believe in God, but what we are saying is there are certain cultural and traditional things in our country that we carry on. And it doesn't have to be offensive to someone. Someone said, well, I'm an atheist. I told you, I have atheist friends who like Christmas.
Well, how is that possible?
Because they just like the idea of a festival. They think it's cool. They like the presents. It doesn't bum them out.
I don't understand how any atheist who is sickened by the idea of Christmas would say, oh, goody, here it comes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're making that up.
No, I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up at all.
I want to ask the gentleman a question, if Mr. Hendry's going to lie.
I'm not lying, ma'am.
I want to ask the gentleman a question.
Ask me.
The first Thanksgiving, there were Native Indians, okay? They weren't Christian. What were they giving thanks for? Oh, yeah, give me five.
Yeah, nice one.
They were invited guests.
Yeah. What? Oh, that's dirty pool.
That's Christianity. That's Christianity. You invite your neighbors to your home.
Well, are you saying that they were invited, but they were not allowed to be part of Thanksgiving because they were heathen? I didn't understand.
No, he's saying that as guests, they were invited to this celebration that was being hosted by the pilgrims who were religious and who were inaugurating this.
Even the Native Americans
mm-hmm.
believed in the Great Spirit
mm-hmm.
in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the Great Spirit in the sky is a far cry from, a Jesus egg, I can assure you.
You remember that song?
I do remember the song, and probably the gentleman remembers it. Going up to a spirit in the sky. Going up. You know that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was... Yeah, okay, that was...
Phil Hendry.
Ran out of time.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, there's people who call us pedophiles, they call us perverts.
That's the thing, please.
Who is the opposition that we're supporting? Make no mistake, there's a big question mark.
As lawyers, we are offended by preaching from the bench.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take it through the looking glass each and every night and go places other talk shows only wish they could go. And when I say that, I mean that, man. Because this radio show, like no other in the history of mortal man on this planet, is able to coalesce into a cohesive, strong, and ever-striding force, the listeners of this show, to uphold the grand traditions of our flag, of our country, and of our faith. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Right now online, we have live streaming video of our show, live streaming video, and you can take a look at Phil TV in HD at philhendryshow.com. And those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD right now, you are looking at we are actually at the Wheeler Hermitage in Northern California. That water is so chilled out, it doesn't move. You see that lake behind me?
It's kind of, is that a baptismal fount or something?
I don't know if it's a, what do you mean baptismal fount? It's some kind of, it's a beautiful pool of water here. Beautiful evening here. 877-876-PHIL. Now, Robert Greene is going to be joining us because we want to talk about a story out of Albany, New York, and this is a story that is, it's an amazing story, and Mr. Green himself, CEO of Fraser Foods, a grocery chain in the Southwest, has had experience with this, and just to give you the thumbnail sketch, a group of employees who regularly play an office pool in the New York State Mega Millions Lottery, this group of employees played a number, and they won. But here's the problem. One of the people who usually played with them, they had a group of seven or eight people, he decided he wasn't feeling lucky, and so he bowed out that night. He wasn't going to buy a ticket with them in this one particular instance, and guess what? They wind up winning $319 million. Seven lottery pool players. They won last week's $319 million Mega Millions jackpot. They could have had an eighth member, but the co-worker who regularly played opted out because he wasn't feeling lucky. And, all kinds of jokes can be made here, including, well, yeah, you weren't, you know.
He wasn't lucky, he didn't play.
No, he wasn't lucky. You're right. He wasn't feeling lucky, he didn't act lucky, and he wasn't lucky. Robert Greene, as I mentioned, with Fraser Foods here in Southern California, he's the CEO. And you had a similar situation, Bob. I know that we want to talk with you about last October that my understanding is still sort of pending. And maybe you can give us some information on that. In any event, though, Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil, and great to be on your program this evening.
And thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Last October, you had six employees who purchased a ticket, and let me just get my fact sheet up here. They purchased a ticket in one of the California Mega Million games, and all six of them won. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. They won a jackpot of $62 million, and it was a nice chunk of change for a group of people who were six of my checkers in our Buena Park store. It was certainly a big moment for them. There's no question about it.
All right. These people, six of them, right?
There were six initially, yeah.
And my understanding is that you, as the owner of the store, have made a claim to some of that. Can you tell me, $62 million, is that $62 million in one lump sum, or how does that work out?
No, the math is it's $62 million if they take it over the 20-year period. It is $42 million in one lump sum. They opted to take it in one lump sum, which I did agree with. And
now, just so we know, you didn't buy a ticket with these people, did you?
No, I did not buy a ticket with them, as I've told the press many, many times. But that's really not what we're claiming now. We are claiming that they purchased this ticket as a part of an office pool. That office, of course, is mine. It's my store that they bought it in. They purchased it across the street at a 7-Eleven, which was near, obviously, our store where they worked, and they never would have been in that 7-Eleven had they not been in my employ. So there's five or six legal points that my attorney has drawn up and that we will present to the courts once we have a chance.
Now, all right, so you're litigating this. This is the thing that I think is interesting. The other man in this Albany, New York case, and I got to tell you, I've got a few strong opinions on this, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
All right, but before I get to those, I want to get the facts. This guy in Albany, New York, he's not their employer. He's just a guy, an eighth guy. Would you recommend to this guy that he make some claim?
No, I would not. He doesn't have any right to it at all. He was just somebody that played in the pool with them. And, you know, there's an old saying, if you've ever heard it, if you snooze, you lose. And
of course I've heard it.
All right. Well, I just heard it myself last. I don't know if it's that common, but I thought it was a very good saying. I just heard it myself last week. Is it common? Or
if you snooze, you lose is a pretty old...
All right. But I told, because I told the man that produces your show, Mr. Runt.
Rance?
Mr. Rance. I said... this is different because he asked me the same question. He said, well, what about this guy in New York? And I said, he's out of luck. I said, I'm not out of luck because I own the store. And I could hear Mr. Rance asking another question, but by then I was hanging the phone up.
So you think this is pretty cut and dried?
I think there's no question, Phil, that the ticket was purchased by my employees. It was an office pool that took place in my store. They purchased the ticket across the street at a 7-Eleven that they would never have been in had it not been for being in my employ. They, I think, owe their aggressive nature when it comes to this kind of thing to working for me. I have always been an individual that tried to inspire my employees. And I think on a previous program I told you that I regularly drive to the Buena Park store in the latest car I got is the new Mercedes that I have. I regularly drive wearing the suits that I do. I want people to see, I want my employees to see, you know, that I don't have that much money, but I've got a lot of money. I don't have as much money as they think I do. And so $6 million is going to feel pretty good. And
you feel, all right, now, if these people are taking the $42 million lump sum payment, that means they get, there's six of them, they would get $7 million.
That is correct.
All right. But if they share with you, they get $6
million. That is absolutely correct.
So they're going to lose $1 million.
Well, they're not losing anything. I feel I have a right to this money. These are checkers that are women that make $7 an hour. So the fact that they're going to get $6 million, you might as well say to them, and I say this with the greatest of respect, they're hard-working women, and I respect all of them very much as far as it goes, but not if they are going to try to keep me from to get my fair share, and then, of course, I don't have respect for them, but I do respect them now, and I think that you go up to a woman that checks groceries for for $7 an hour, and
so you don't pay them very well.
I pay them very. That is minimum wage, Mr. Henry. I don't know what you mean by that, but I pay them very well.
Well, you're paying a minimum wage. I would imagine a lot of these women, they're not all young girls.
No, a lot of them are in their 40s, and we have two in their 50s. But that's got that is why when you give them you give $6 million to somebody like that, and to them you have opened up what's the book that I read to my daughter one night when she was a kid? Alibaba and the 40 Thieves?
I don't know.
Well, they have a big cave full of gold or something.
I don't know, but so you're saying it's a fortune.
It's a lot of money.
All right, well, Mr. Green, and our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green has six checkers at his grocery store that won a Mega Millions game here in California for $62 million. And he feels that he, as the owner of the store, as the owner of the office where the office pool took place, should be cut in as a seventh member. Now, I would say to you, and I'm sure that this doesn't come as a surprise, that they earned this money. This is their money. For you to want to be cut in...
How did they earn it? I'm curious.
Just let me finish. For you to want to be cut in on this money, Bob, it defies logic. You have said to me, yes, you own the store, and yes, you this, and yes, you that. But here are people who are $7 an hour employees. This is a big load of money for them. And an extra million... is an extra million. That's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of zeros, as the man says.
Don't I know it? But you're thinking that
Wait a minute. You're the guy that pulls up at the store every night, every morning, parks a Mercedes, gets out in the beautiful Italian suits that you wear, which I don't know how much they cost. You told me you bought an Italian suit when? About a month ago for $3,000?
That is a gross exaggeration.
You said it was up there. And all of these things put together, you want a piece of their winnings. Now, have you filed suit? You have, haven't you?
We have filed what we've asked for is the court to enjoin the dissemination of these monies until such time as my attorney can look over the facts of this and very carefully prepare a challenge. My attorney has made note of the fact that I was not aware. If I'd been made aware that they were, we could have worked something out beforehand. The fact that I found out that my aunt has died, the fact that there's a lot of things that have happened.
And your aunt died.
There are a lot of things that have happened that have made my life very difficult. And to be cut in for a piece of these winnings makes sense, is logical, and we feel is within my rights as the.
I'm just going to say to be a $7 an hour checker and to have this opportunity come along and win this amount of money, and then to have your boss stick his nose in and say I get some of that.
Mr. Henry, I'm going to say something right now that most employers understand. You don't really believe that someone was going to win $62 million that worked for me, and I wasn't going to have something to say about whether I get a piece of that. Look at the success that I've had in my life.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. That's exactly what I think. They win their money, and they get their money, and you don't say anything about it.
I have had the success that I've had in life, Phil, first and foremost because I don't let $62 million just walk out the door. Of course I was going to say something about it. You don't have the kind of success. Did they really think that a man like me was going to just allow this to happen? So that's why I've asked my attorney to look into it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number on the Phil Henry Show. Robert Green, the owner of Fraser Foods, who believes that he's entitled to a piece of the Mega Millions won by six of his employees. He didn't buy a ticket. He didn't put in any money. He wasn't even a part of this office pool. But the fact that employees of his have hit this lottery, he believes he gets a piece of the winnings. And he says it because he owns the office, he owns the business. They wouldn't have been at the 7-Eleven where they bought the ticket if they didn't work for him, so on and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. And I think the guy, this is the closest thing to highway robbery you could possibly imagine. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, and our Patriot line is open at 877-876-7445. Robert Greene joining me from Fraser Foods. The story from Albany, New York today. It's a heart-wrenching story, and it's also one of great happiness. A group of friends and fellow employees purchase a lottery ticket. Well, seven of them hit the jackpot, $319 million, but the one guy that used to buy the ticket with them every week decided against purchasing the ticket this week. Now, Robert Greene is joining me. Mr. Greene has had a similar situation. Although you were never in this pool with these employees, they purchased this ticket, they won, and you want to cut yourself in.
Well, let's talk about this, Phil, for a second. I want to cut myself in, huh? Where is the common decency of these people in Albany, New York, whose friend purchased a ticket with them every week, except for this one time, and they win the $319 million? And I would think that common decency would dictate that they would let this man have a share.
Well, maybe they would, and maybe they wouldn't. But what you're doing is you're suing your employees.
I am not suing my employee.
Well, what do you got a lawyer doing?
Well, I am protecting my rights, as this man should in Albany, New York. He should protect his rights, because I think he has rights. I think he has rights. I think every week he pitched in money, and just this one week he forgot or whatever. You know, big deal. They ought to have common decency. And I said to my employees, I said, what about me? And they looked at me as if I had hit all of them with a frying pan or something. You should have seen the stupid look on their faces. When I said to this one lady, Bonnie, I said, Bonnie, do you think that in seriousness I should get a share? And she almost started laughing at me. And boy, I'll tell you, if there's one thing I don't like, and I realize this is a personal problem, but I don't like it when women laugh at me. And she is a woman, obviously, and she laughed. And boy, I think if anything pushed me over the edge and made me want to go and get a lawyer.
Well, you know what? Your personal problems, psychological or otherwise.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think you know what it means, Bob. Come on. I've known you for a long time. I don't want to hear about you putting your own personal insecurities off on other people having to do with whether you get a piece of this or not. 877-876-7445. Jason in San Antonio, Texas. Hold the line here for just a second, Jason, because I'm constantly making this mistake and my guys are... Okay, Jason in San Antonio, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene.
Yeah, I think this guy is absolutely out of his mind. I mean, to think that he has absolutely 100% no right to that money, because he's saying that, you know, since he was in my business and this and that. Well, that means that everybody that those people have ever come across in their entire life gets a piece of that pie, you know?
That's ridiculous. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
that's exactly what you're saying. They were in my store. They wouldn't have been there if it weren't for the 7-Eleven. Well, they wouldn't have been in the 7-Eleven if it weren't for the 7-Eleven. So does the 7-Eleven, does all their employees get a piece of the pie? How about I get a piece of the pie because I heard it on the radio. Hey, I'm a part of it now.
Hey, kid, you want a piece of pie, you're going to have to go out and work for that. I ain't going to give it to you. But I'll tell you this much. They were in my store. And what are you talking about? They work for me. And all of a sudden... They got $62 million, and I'm going to stand there and not say anything?
No, come on.
How about this? Well, they didn't say nothing when you were paying a minimum wage. You got to be kidding me. Who pays people minimum wage anymore? Are you serious? What world are you in? Are you trying to get you're one of them guys that try to get away with whatever you can, and this is a perfect example right here. You're trying to get away with as much as you can, only because
these are very difficult times. These are very difficult times, and the times that we're in are very difficult. And the minimum wage, well, you don't think there's a recession on? Because I got news for you, there is.
Who cares?
Nobody cares
what's going on. We're talking about personal problems right now. We don't care. We're not talking about the world. See, that's where you're getting confused.
We are talking about the world.
No, we're not. No, this man's right. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about your problem, Bob, when this woman laughed at you.
I don't like a woman laughing at me.
I would have laughed at you, too. I wish I could see you right now so I could laugh at you. Not to disrespect you, but just to laugh because I can't believe someone would actually think they have a right. Like, what if I go out and buy a lottery ticket right now? No matter who I work for, whatever, I go out and buy a lottery ticket. Now, all of a sudden, he worked for me. Well, I work for, I work for about 10 different companies. You think all 10 of those?
I wouldn't say that. But I would say that if you said to me right now, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket, and you didn't, you won, you'd have to talk to me about it because you included me in on your decision.
So what's the difference?
What?
So just because someone works for you, they have to, it's like they got to report to you because they want
exactly.
It.
They have to report to me their winnings if they win in the race.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-Phil.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I was just looking at the trailer to a lottery ticket.
Well, you're looking at the trailer to lottery ticket because I know why you're looking at the trailer to lottery ticket. Bow Wow's in that, and he's the one that smacked Cat Stacks, and you think that's funny.
No, I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's funny at all. I'm just looking at the lottery ticket trailer because I was looking for the story of that group of people. What is that supposed to mean?
Mr. Henry, this group of employees of mine purchased a lottery ticket. They purchased a lottery ticket, and I have asked them in all good conscience and out of sheer decency to cut me in as a partner. The video of Bow Wow slapping Kat Stacks and saying to her, and I am quoting directly, "Apologize, bitch." What's different about that and what's happening to me? Nothing.
Wait. Say that again? You are really asinine with a comment like that, Bob, as much as I respect you. You know?
Well, you have no respect for me. If you're saying to me that I...
Well, you're telling me that Bow Wow slapping Cat Stacks is the same as what's happened to you.
Figuratively, yeah. They have slapped me they've slapped me off a bar stool. And they're leaning over me, all six of these checkers, because I am their boss. I'm the man that gave them this job. And now they lean over me, triumphant, saying, "Apologize, bitch. Apologize, bitch." And I tell you, Phil, excuse my language, but I'm no one's bitch. And
you really got this thing worked up in your head like you're entitled to money that was... You're the boss. You're the guy parking the Mercedes outside. You're the guy that's lording it over everybody. And you're the guy that now wants to get a piece of what these people have earned. Here's Michael in Indianapolis. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for accepting my call.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Green, I think that you're a dirty, underhanded opportunist. Now, these ladies have been working, struggling, making minimum wage for you. And you don't know if they just living paycheck to paycheck. They may have five or six kids by themselves. They don't have no, they got a little piece of sunshine, and you're trying to take it away from them. I don't think that's right at all.
No, I'm not trying to take it away from them. I simply want a taste.
But you want a taste. You sound like some mafia crew chief or something. You want a taste.
I beg you, Mr. Henry, I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Out of all of the people, it's been a lot of people that have pools for the lottery at a lot of jobs, and none of those people asked for anything. So what? Why should you get anything?
Well, I don't understand.
If you say that they smacking you in the face, I think that they should smack your whole head off.
Sir, I disagree. I think they're treating me the way a violent man treats a woman. And no man wants to be treated. Look, these are six women who basically have me on the floor, and their posse is digitally recording it with their cell phones, and they're saying, apologize, bitch.
Now, well, you really got something going on in your head with that. And
what does that mean?
It means I don't know what's going on with you about apologize, bitch, and you don't like women laughing at you. This is something that's personal with you. This is something that has to do with, I think, pardon me for saying this, a mental problem.
Well, Mr. Henry, you have bit off a little more than you can chew there, because that's actionable.
No, it isn't. It's an opinion. And I got to ask this gentleman here, Michael, don't you think it's mental?
Yeah, I think that he got some mental issues going on, too, to think that somebody's supposed to give him part of their winnings. I don't understand that. I could, I could be your child. And I won that money, and I ain't about to give you none of it. Because
you're
I don't
my
have
child,
to.
You have to give it to me. You've got to give it to me if I'm your father.
I don't have to. I'm a grown man. I'm a 47-year-old man. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but you said that if you were my child.
You know, but you show off your Mercedes in front of those people, and I'm sure that some of them ladies don't even have a car. You know,
what about
they
that,
got an opportunity to get everything to solve a lot of their problems, and you're trying to make it hard. You're trying to make it so they can't even get the money right now.
I pull that Mercedes into the lot every morning to show them what it is that someone has something like that. I don't know if they're going to have one. Well, now they will. And that's the other thing. They quit their jobs as soon as they learned that they had won this lottery money, and this is going to sound petty.
I don't blame them for that.
They robbed me of the opportunity to fire them.
I wouldn't continue to work for minimum wage if I won either. That wouldn't make much sense.
I can't afford to pay them more. And you know why? Because I don't have the money. If they cut me in for a taste.
If the ladies left the job, you know every time when somebody leaves the job, it's somebody else waiting to step right in. So why don't you just get some more people and pay them minimum wage like you was doing?
I can tell you this, that they if I do that, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. But if I do that, that means that I'm waiving my right to the earnings.
Oh, man, you've got some really screwy ideas, and I don't know who your lawyer is.
Well, you know what? He is a lawyer, and you're not, Mr. Henry. So
this man is really starting to frustrate me, so I'm going to let you go.
I appreciate your call very much, Michael. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And I don't blame that guy for saying that.
Well, first of all, you put him up. That gentleman was talking to me on an even keel, and then you put him up to saying that I've got mental problems. And
you're the guy sitting there saying you don't like women laughing at you, and the fact that they whatever this stuff is about them slapping you off a bar stool.
I was talking about. You said to me, "This is unfair." Didn't you say to me that you were looking at lottery tickets?
Yeah.
Who's in that movie?
Bow Wow.
Bow Wow's in that movie, and he's the guy that slapped her off that chair.
Well, okay, so what, man? Bow Wow's in that movie, and he slapped Cat Stacks. How does that make you her?
You don't get it, do you? He's leaning over me saying, apologize, bitch. Apologize, bitch. Just the way those checkers... forget it. You know
what? It really begins to disturb me, the fact that we're talking about people who won money fair and square.
You know, what this disturbs me, and all of this fancy talk with your listeners, but you don't drive a Mercedes. You don't own a grocery store chain.
No, I don't. I don't. You do. And so why aren't you not happy with that? And I guess you don't make enough money because you've got to take a taste, as you say, or a cut, make them divide that money seven ways instead of six. So you think it's no big deal they're coughing up an extra $1 million. Well, maybe it is a big deal to them. Maybe they need that extra million.
After $7 an hour, and that's another thing I want to mention. You know, people can call me all kinds of names, but I paid them the $7 an hour, and only now do they appreciate what $6 million or $7 million looks like. And if they weren't making the $7 an hour, they would not appreciate the $7 million that they've got. And this all, I think, started when I mentioned Cat Stacks and I identified with her getting slapped off a bar stool.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll say it again. It disturbed me.
And, it disturbed you.
Yes, it did. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go over to Mindy here in San Antonio. Hi, Mindy. Mindy is in San Antonio, and you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mindy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question for you. If you had a spike in your business and you made more money than you normally did, were you going to pass that on to your employees?
As if they were shareholders in the business? No, I can't do that. That would be
counterproductive
to the...
They're your employees. They're your employees. You wouldn't be making
that,
money. You wouldn't be making that extra money if they wouldn't be working for you, so therefore you should pass on your extra money onto them.
I don't think that it works quite like that because, and I'll tell you
why. Why not? It's the same. It's the same reasoning.
All they're doing is checking groceries. But what I do is provide an inspiration to them as to what it is to have money. Look. Can I mention something here, Mr. Henry? If I get a piece of this money, I'm not going to be going out there going to Laughlin, Nevada. I'm not going to be going out there buying motorhomes and sending it down to Mexico to my relatives. And
is that what you think they're going to do with the money?
I don't know. There are things I would do with the money that would actually benefit American business.
Give me an example of what you'd do with the money.
There are things I would do. I can't. At this time,
give me an example.
Well, I've got a girlfriend that needs a medical procedure that would benefit American medicine.
Or he'd buy a new car.
Yeah, that benefits American business.
If it's an American car.
No, even if it's a Jaguar like you drive, which happens to be...
It's assembled in the United States. Thank you very much.
No, it's not.
Don't tell me about the car I drive.
I'll tell you this.
I just think you're a very greedy man, and this lady is laughing at you, sir. This lady's laughing hysterically at you because you're pitiful.
Ma'am, when women laugh at me, it causes...
Oh, I just feel sorry for you, sir. I really feel sorry for you.
Why would you laugh at me when you know? Why would you laugh at me when you know that causes me certain problems?
Bob,
because
quit
because
talking.
You have a problem, sir. When you expect these people who are working for minimum wage to cough up money for you, when you've already got a business and you're making decent money, you should be happy with what you got, and you should be happy for your employees, sir.
Mindy, I want to just ask you one question before you leave. Let's say you were living in the most fall-apart, piece-of-junk motorhome, and you were having to drink rainwater, and you were having to... use an outhouse, and one of your kids hits the lottery for $300 million and doesn't give you a nickel. Now how do you feel about it?
But they're not your children, sir.
Yeah! Now, see, she doesn't want to answer the question.
She just did. They're not your children. They're not your children.
Well, what does that mean?
They're not your children. They're just your employees, and you don't feel you should share any spike in your earnings with your employees, so why should they... Why should you benefit from their winnings? I hope to God you don't get it, sir, because you don't deserve it. You're a very, very greedy man.
You are very greedy.
Shame on you.
You just lied. A Christian woman, and you lied.
No, she didn't lie at all. She's being very honest. Thank you very much, Mindy, for your call.
Thank you, sir.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. She was being very, very honest.
No, she lied because I asked her, what would you do, and she wouldn't answer, and she put it all on me. And I think that that's really what we're talking about, Phil. We are talking about the American people here who will not be honest and say, if I employed six women, minimum wage women, who I know are going to
send the money back to Mexico. You got all kinds of assumptions going on here that you can't prove one way or the other, and it doesn't make any difference if they send the dough back to Mexico. And you think you're going to do better?
Absolutely, I would do better.
But what's this medical procedure for your girlfriend?
That's none of your business.
But I'm supposed to trust that it will go to American business.
It's a breast enlargement, and it would go to an American plastic surgeon.
Oh, and a human breast milk business?
It's the baby doll. Oh, you don't know anything, do you? It's the baby dolls that they use for human breast milk.
And you're going to go into business doing what?
selling them. Phil, the attitude, and you're going to go to business and do it. I know what I'm doing, okay? Disc jockey. Don't tell me.
I'm not a disc jockey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Talk show host. And if I got to keep watching this Rhonda Shear and these Brazier ads that she keeps doing, I'm going to go out of my mind. I'm going to put my head right through my big screen TV.
Put him on hold for a minute, will you? 877-876-PHIL. Back with our final segment, Robert Green from Fraser Foods, as we talk about six of his employees who won a Mega Million lottery, $62 million, $42 million, taking the payout now, which is $7 million apiece. Mr. Green has gone to court to force them to cut him in for a share. Why? Because they work for him, because they wouldn't have gone to the 7-Eleven across the street. A whole bunch of reasons, none of which makes sense. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here. And don't forget, we're on Phil TV, streaming in HD at philhenryshow.com. Go watch our live streaming video of the show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Said what?
I got a call from your producer, Mr. Rance, who said that you are mocking me right now with something you're playing on your video cast.
Rance called you and said I'm mocking you.
Yes.
I'm showing the Shirley Jackson, it's a film of the Shirley Jackson short story, The Lottery.
That's a story about people that pull tickets in a lottery to know who wins the right to stone a woman to death. How dare you?
And well, it's a very pivotal story.
A pivotal story?
Yeah.
What's it got to do with me winning the lottery?
It had to do with the lottery. Look, I don't want to get into a discussion of that. What I am talking with Robert Green about here, though, is the lottery won by his six employees that he has demanded money from. And you have taken them to court, and what are you suing for?
It's a business lawsuit, Phil. Basically, it's breach of contract.
Breach of what contract? What contract have they breached with you?
The contract, they worked for me, and they received their monies from me, and now they're getting money from the state of California. It doesn't make any sense. I want my lawyer to suss all this out.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. And it isn't going to make any sense to your lawyer either. And now you're calling it breach of contract. You got no contract with minimum wage people. I'm sorry. Vinny in Huntington Beach, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
Hey, Phil. I got one question for Bob. Hey, Bob. Let me say, if you won the lottery and your six employees came up to you and asked you for money, would you give them a taste?
Of course not. It's a different...
What do you mean, of course?
Different roles. At different roles. I'm the employer who provides for them the example of successful capitalism, the successful expenditure of dollars and money and capital and investment. I'm the individual that has given them the job that earned them the money to buy the lottery ticket. If they came to me and said, we want a piece, I'd say, well, what have you done for me?
Well, they work for you. What do you mean? They work for you.
They work for me. So they punch buttons on a checking machine, which, you know, frankly, we've got the new self-scan, so...
Sound like one of them greedy, like the billionaires, that when they were asked how much is enough, and he said, just a little bit more. You know?
I don't know that sounds like something you made up. I've never heard that.
Yeah,
I've never heard that.
I've heard it before.
These poor women,
I've heard it
before. Working their fingers off the bone and for dirt cheap, and you probably treat them like trash, and now they got their chance for a little taste of happiness, and you want to take it away.
They still have it. They still have it. I'm asking for a piece, which means instead of getting $7 million, they'll get $6 million. Oh, well. That really is killing them.
That's their money to decide what they do with. That's not your money to say, oh, well, let me just take $1 million, and that you guys would be happy with $6 million. They get to decide that. You know, in your line of work, Mr. Green, you know, I'm sure $1 million is a big difference in any deal that you do.
That's in my line of work. But if you're making $7 an hour, let me ask the gentleman I'm talking to right now, Vinny.
Yeah,
if I gave you $10 million instead of $11 million, are you going to fall on your hands and knees and start crying about it? Of course not. Because to you, you know,
I'd want all 11. If the 11 was for me, I'd want it all. I wouldn't want to give you, just toss it. That's like just tossing it out the window.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really, it wouldn't matter because you don't really get it about those. I mean, you don't really understand that kind of money, do you? And so,
what does that mean? He doesn't understand.
Yes, I do. Of course, I do, because I own 5 or 6 different grocery stores.
All right. So why you want to take this? So why you want more? You got all this cash. What do you need more for?
Because it's straight business. In my store is where they won the lottery. I'll give you an example. If I take that money, I go to, shall we say, Paris. If they take it, they go on vacation at Laughlin, Nevada. You see the difference? That's, you know.
Yeah, in other words, you go out of the country and give it to some French hotel, and they keep it in the country.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's exactly what you said. And because they're not going to Paris, you don't think they're good enough? Man, I'll tell you right now, I'd take their Laughlin money before I took yours. Vinny, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-7445 here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have time for one more. Here is Anita in Boston. Go ahead, Anita. You're on with Robert Green.
Burning through the calls, aren't you?
Go ahead, Anita.
Oh, you know what? This man, I wonder if he won the. I wonder if it was him that won the lottery. Would he want us to? Would he want us give half of it to his employees?
Of course,
I bet you he wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I would not.
Why would you? Then why should you get any of theirs?
Because I'm the boss.
I don't care who you are.
I set the example. I set the example for. They'd have to give me the money because I set the example for what it is to be rich.
You set no example for anybody. If that's your example, I don't want no part of it.
Well, then, if it was you, Anita, I'd still have to demand that you give me part of your money. See, so,
what?
I don't know where you live. I'd have to demand of you that you give me your money anyway.
I'll tell you, if that was my money, you wouldn't get one dime of it. Not 10 cents.
Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to cough up.
Phil Hendry.
I said cough up.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
One thing that the American people need to know is that we did not know, nor
am I still going to be allowed to keep my poll?
They've asked people if they know.
There have been people who called us pedophiles, they've called us perverts, they've said we're...
Syria now is currently being subjected to a strong...
Oh, my Lord. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows can't go. I mean, the places we go that other talk shows can't go, you don't even know the half of it. You don't know what we got to go through every night to get this show out, man. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, that's philhendryshow.com, live streaming video, Phil TV and HD right now, and you can also catch an episode or two of Hendry, Emotionally Fragile. I don't know whether we're going to have that up on demand or not. Tomorrow morning we're heading out pretty early. I got to record for Napoleon Dynamite. Now, how's that going? It's going good. It's going good. It's great, great group of people, and I had the great pleasure of you know, we had Jennifer Coolidge at the table read, and her sister.
What are you talking about? Hillary Duff was that your read?
No, her sister Haley is a great actress herself, and she. In fact, that was a part of our table read. So anyway, I got to get up early.
Well, I want to talk about more about Haley Duff and everything.
No, man, I don't want to talk about that, okay? I just got to get up early and get down there for the record. going to do but get it fixed. That first, I got listeners out there all over America saying, where the hell is Henry working?
No, that's not true. We're going to try and get it fixed.
Then get it fixed. I have to very professionally say, well, I lost my phone system. All right. 877-876. I didn't mean to yell at you guys.
Well, I'm trying the best I can.
All right. Murder victims' parents sue Facebook over crime scene photo that they want Facebook to turn over the names of everyone who viewed it or downloaded the picture. And this is the news of the day, in my opinion. You can talk all you want about Libya, and we can get into Syria, and you know, I understand that most people don't really know what it is anyone's talking about when it comes to Libya and Syria. And I'll explain all of that because I do, and I'm not going to filter it through anything necessarily ideologic. See, here's the thing: being a conservative means that you're into truth. So I don't fear going anywhere with my opinions because as a conservative, all I'm interested in is the truth. Liberals are not. Liberals are interested in propaganda. So when we talk about Syria and Libya, I can say, for instance, as a conservative, the problems in dealing with those countries are much, much bigger and go further than Obama. If you think it's all about Obama, you're not a true conservative. And how do I know? Because I am one. So we'll talk about that. But if you really want to know what this world is about these days, what the really big, big story, in, as far as I'm concerned, is social media and how it deals with us as individuals, how it deals with our privacy, whether or not we're really respected by it. What are we getting in return, folks? We're making a lot of people wealthy over at Facebook. We're making a lot of people rich over at Twitter. What are we getting in return? We get to sit there and tweet our stupid asses off. That's what we get to do. All right. That's nice. It is a way of promoting oneself if one's in business. It's a way of trying things out in terms of communication, jokes, stories, poems, etc. Facebook, it's another way of advertising a business. But let's face it, you know, it's still a grind out there. So, you know, you get people and I don't know, you get 5,000 friends, quote unquote. But the exchange is not that great of an exchange, is it? I mean, there's somebody else making, like I said, a lot of money on this. Now, here is the story of a woman that was murdered, and an EMT worker took a picture of the woman's body and put it on Facebook. Now, there's no words that adequately describe the stupidity of an individual like that. Like, if, for instance, if I ran into that guy, if that was my sister or my wife, and I ran into that guy, and I had a baseball bat, it would be the end of his days on this planet. And it probably wouldn't be it's not a great thing to admit to, but that's just the facts. I mean, that's how you make people feel, pal. Now, the parents, however, they have stopped short of that, but what they are doing is they're suing Facebook. Facebook, of course, turns around and says the suit is without merit. Facebook says that they're just enabling people to have a social networking site, and they can put anything that they want there, and Facebook isn't to blame, and they're not to be held accountable or responsible for anything. They just provide the big bulletin board that everybody gets to slap that crap up on. And the only thing that they do is they regulate the traffic and they edit things for content. They're always editing things for content, things that are obscene, things that are patently obscene. And yet somehow the Facebook attorneys think that it's without merit that this picture was put on their website of a dead body, the daughter of a couple of people, and it's got nothing to do with them. The suit demands that Facebook delete the picture from their backup servers where all pictures posted are stored after a user uploads them to the site, as well as identify any and all users who viewed and or downloaded the picture. Well, now they may be going a little too far.
What do you mean by view it?
People who just happened to view it. Now, downloading it, possibly they got a case there where, in other words, if someone is to, it's like child porn, you know. You look at child porn, is it a violation of the law? Well, I mean, if you just happen upon a picture of something that is illegal, it's not necessarily illegal. But when you're downloading it, when you're storing it, when you're saving it, and when you're transferring it or transmitting it to others, damn right it's against the law.
Well, how do you know if people are looking at it?
I don't know. There must be some way of figuring these things out. Here is at least the Facebook side of things, I think. They say that this lawsuit is without merit. They plan on fighting it vigorously. In an interview on CNN, Martha Wimmer, the victim's mother, is reacting to Facebook saying that it's without merit.
And I'm going to fight them right back. And I'm not going to stop until there's no breath left in my body. They can argue the point any way they want, but they are 100% wrong. All I want is my daughter's picture back. Why do they have to have it? What are they going to do with her picture? They don't need it. If it was their daughter, would they want it on there? I don't think so.
They want Facebook to get rid of that picture, and they want the names of individuals that have viewed it or downloaded it, I guess, so they can have possession of this image and that this image is not out on the Internet at all. Former emergency medical technician Mark Mussarella was one of the first responders to arrive while working the scene. He took a gruesome cell phone picture of the aspiring teacher's body and posted it to his Facebook page. This is the amazing thing about how stupid some people are. And I was talking to some people the other day. I said, we live in a day and age now where people are so eager to, you know, put their stuff out there, they don't realize they're breaking the law sometimes. So here's dumbass, takes a picture, puts it on his Facebook page, and it doesn't even occur to him that this might be a violation of the law, or it might be at least something that would get him fired. The civil suit filed by the Wimmer family names several defendants, including this jackass Mussarella, his former employer, Richmond University Medical Center, Fire Commissioner Salvatore Cassano, the Fire Department of New York, the apartment building that Carolyn Wimmer lived in, and Facebook. The suit has not indicated whether they plan on suing the people who downloaded or viewed the offensive picture, but they want the picture obviously off the Internet, which means they want it. And I can tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Wimmer, and I, you know, I wish you luck, but there is some real scum out there, and there are people that will, as you file this lawsuit, and they have downloaded that picture, they're duplicating it now as we speak, and they are putting it even deeper and further into the labyrinth of the Internet. You'll never get all of these pictures, obviously, off the net, but what you can do is, you can at least know when it's visible someplace. You can take action against those individuals if you win the suit. And you can make life kind of uncomfortable for anybody that decides, oh, wow, I have a picture of this Carolyn Wimmer. I think I'll put it up on my website or maybe just post it on a transfer site. You know, we were talking about that, by the way.
Yeah, you know, talk about that transfer site thing, man.
You think I should?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting when you did it on a talk about it on a Fragile Phil.
It ain't called Fragile Phil. It's Henry, Emotionally Fragile.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get a little bit deeper into this, but let me just, according to Wimmer's attorney, the suit seeks unspecified monetary compensation for all the defendants except Facebook. The plaintiffs are not demanding any monetary reward from the social networking website. Instead, they want the company to delete the photograph from its servers and to provide them with information on who saw and downloaded the image. The image is no longer available to view or download, but it is still on Facebook's servers. The lawsuit says Facebook is in part to blame for the pictures being posted and disseminated. In Carolyn's case, pictures were taken without her consent by an EMT who was trespassing when he took his sick and illegal pictures. Facebook displayed them to its members and allowed them to download the same, according to the attorney, and he's right. He's right. 877-876-PHIL. So when we come back, I'll talk to you about Pirate Bay, something you've never heard of. Probably a lot of you have not heard of, and a lot of you have. And I'll tell you what's happened to them when we come back. And I'll tell you also what a pack of phonies they are, and what it is that they do, really, for a living. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on. Welcome back here, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Excuse me.
You know, I'm supposed to sound like you're going to die.
I'm not going to die. I just sort of choked. No, I'm fine. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. And Bud's in my ear now because he just talked to Rance, who convinced him that Facebook has a great case because it is true that if you go to an entity that is either hosting or linking something, a picture, a video, a movie, and you say to them, oh, that is copyright protected material, I am an empowered agent of the individual that holds that copyright, take it down, they must take it down. Now, Facebook did take down that picture. However, Facebook still has copies of that. Facebook still holds it in their servers. That's what the parents are talking about. The parents are saying the picture was taken illegally. The picture was posted illegally. And yes, it was. It was taken down. Yes, it was. But that illegal record that contains the image of our daughter, well, you're still holding on to it. You have that. It's in your servers. You obtained that from an individual that committed a crime when he took that picture. You had it on your site when you were informed of the fact that it was an illegal image. You took it down, but you are holding on to that contraband. Why? It wasn't yours originally. You had no right to it originally. And in compliance with the law, when you were asked to take it down, you did. And that's well and good. But they're taking this a step further. They're saying, no, just taking it down. You're holding on to that in your servers, and we want that off of your servers. And we also want to know who downloaded that image. Their lawyer is going to have a big mountain to climb, but I think the guy has a right on behalf of the family to say, why do individuals get to hold on to an illegally obtained image of our daughter when initially and successfully we claim that it was illegally obtained in the first place? I don't know. Then there's a thing called compelling public interest, which means, well, now it's in compelling public interest, and we have a record of this thing that is in the compelling interest of the public, so we get to hold on to it. It's a very goofy, kind of weird thing, but I think they've got some at least a claim as far as Facebook goes. I don't think they're going to be able to track down everybody that ever downloaded it, though.
Yeah, what about that thing on a Pirate Bay?
All right, now Pirate Bay is different. Now, Pirate Bay is an entity that was started in Sweden, and it was started in late 2003, and they have this, or they claim to have this philosophy that the internet freedom, total internet freedom. Now, they have convinced a lot of people that total internet freedom is a really groovy thing and that they really believe in total internet freedom. Well, no, they don't, because let me tell you about Pirate Bay. Now, they don't call themselves a BitTorrent sharing site. And basically what that means is, hi, I have a site. Anybody that has a piece of material, you can post a link here or you can put it here and people can, you know, find the link and go and get the material. And I'm not responsible, and it isn't me. I just happen to, allow that stuff to be transferred here. And, yes, they have advertising. And, yes, we do make money with the advertisers. And, you know, it's a very, very, very weird way to make a living because, frankly, with Pirate Bay, they believe in internet freedom. So they say, well, if you come to me and you say that material is copyright protected, yeah, we're still not going to take it down. We laugh at you. We ridicule you. That's what they say. Ha, 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 ha. We're a transfer site. We're not a hosting site. See, they don't understand the law. The law says if you host, if you transfer, if you whatever, enable someone to go and get a piece of material that is protected by a copyright and you're asked to disable that ability, you have to disable it, whether it's taking the link down, not hosting it anymore, or whatever. Pirate Bay didn't get it. They openly ridiculed people when they asked them to take the links down who held the copyright. And some of the people that they openly ridiculed were some pretty heavy hitters in Hollywood. Now we get to the interesting part of the story. Sony, Warner Brothers, big studios all banded together and they said, well, guess what? We're going to sue your ass. How do you feel about that? Ha, 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 we don't care. All right. They sued them. They also entered into an action with the Swedish government, whereby there was a raid Swedish police raided the offices of Pirate Bay, and what wound up happening in the first trial was the following thing. Pirate Bay wound up having their principals sentenced to jail, and they were fined. So I guess they broke the law. However, Pirate Bay appealed. They appealed. Now, guess how successful their appeal was? You want to know?
Yeah.
Well, the jail time was shortened, but the fine was made bigger. I guess the court felt putting them in jail, what's that going to do? But fining their ass, that's really going to punish them. All right. So their appeal failed as well. So the fact of the matter is, Pirate Bay was subject to criminal penalty. Not to mention, I don't know whether these guys in Hollywood are going to sue them. How much money have they got? You know, you don't sue people unless they have money. If they don't have money, you don't sue them. There's no point. But they did get a criminal penalty placed on these guys. Now, their principals, some of them are still in jail. Now, here's the thing that's hypocritical about Pirate Bay. And here is why Pirate Bay is basically just the biggest phony baloney entity that has ever. And people are conned by the bullcrap. Look, Pirate Bay, do whatever you want, but don't con people into saying you believe in internet freedom. You're just a bunch of bloodsuckers, and you're bending over and greasing up just like everybody else. Pirate Bay will now no longer traffic in Hollywood material or post-Hollywood material or make enable people to get Hollywood material because they've already had their ass kicked by Hollywood. They're in jail. They got fined. So they're not going to go after... Nor are they going to countenance violating the copyrights of Sony or Warner Brothers because they've already had their ass handed to them by Sony and Warner Brothers, right? But Pirate Bay is so about the little people that guess who they still screw? Guess who they're still stealing from? Guess whose material they're still violating? You got it. The small people. The musicians, the artists, the people who hold copyright but don't have the attorneys that Sony and Warner Brothers have got. So Pirate Bay... For all of their bluster about being about internet freedom and the people, you guys are a lying bunch of punks. All you do is steal from the little guy, and now you're running scared of the big boys in Hollywood. And I don't know what's going on in jail, but I guess that's between you guys and your bunkmates. So that's Pirate Bay. I'm glad I was able to explain it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Wow.
Right, wow. All right. Let's see. Tecum, or whatever the hell the name of this whale, the whale that killed the trainer at SeaWorld, is back at work. SeaWorld claims it was the whale's choice to return. You're kidding. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Henry, Emotionally Fragile, will be up tomorrow on demand. Also, our coffee mug is for sale in the shop, and our uncensored video in HD as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we mentioned, our website, philhendryshow.com. If you go over there, you can get the backstage pass. Now, what does a backstage pass do for you? Well, a lot. It does a lot.
Yeah.
You can get the live streaming video of our show. You can get access to the largest archive of any single radio show. And see, I mean, you guys that are just joining the show now, you don't have any idea where this show has been and where it's going. And we have thousands of hours of archive video. By the way, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's my personal Twitter. That's twitter.com/realphilhendry. Now, here's some goofy stuff, man, if ever there was anything that is this goofy. Delaware State Police investigating hoop incident. I don't know, how many of you guys saw this video? And I suspect that there's quite a few because it was, what do you call it, viral?
Yeah, well, I mean, that one guy sent that, speaking of Twitter, one guy put a view on Twitter.
Yeah, a guy, one of my listeners, one of our listeners on Twitter did send me this thing. And it was the video of this guy, and he is talking into the camera, and he's saying, yeah, our basketball hoop is going to be taken down by DDOT, which is what they call the, or DelDOT, the Delaware Department of Transportation. He kept calling it DDOT. And he said, and we have told them we don't want our basketball hoop taken down. And they said, well, we're going to take it down. And look, here they come now, okay? So we're going to play a couple of clips. I don't know if you can hear it very well, to actually watch it. And Jason, if you have the link to this video, I'd like to see it. I had it on Twitter, and I could probably, what I'll do is show it to the people who are watching the video cast. But watching this thing is pretty interesting. And watching how all of this transpires when this individual from the Delaware Department of Transportation comes to the guy's house, the guy's wife climbs up on top.
Yeah, she climbed up on a hoop.
She climbs up on top of the hoop, man. And he's laughing. He says, there's my wife. Now, you know, they ain't going to get her down. And sure enough, this woman gets on top of this hoop. You know.
They were going to pull her down, too.
Well, he said to the woman from DelDOT or DDOT, he said, listen, my wife is going to climb back up that hoop, and she'll be up there when you guys come back. And the DDOT woman says, no, she won't. No, she won't. This woman from the state, and I understand that, you know, I really hate getting into it with cops, because at the end of the day, I was like, well, those guys are just, they're the middle guy, they're the middle man, they're the blue-collar worker, kind of like everybody else. Nonetheless, this lady was feeling her authority, I'll tell you that. And at one point, she even told the guy to get back into his house.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
He's out there, and he's saying, hey, 60 years this hoop has been there. For 60 years, there has been a basketball hoop on this street in front of this house. And now you guys are coming out here, and you're telling me that you're going to take that basketball hoop down? Now, if you're watching our video cast, we have it up here on... And what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute the audio on this thing. But I tell you what I will do. I am going to play the audio for you now. This is a gentleman. In this clip, two unidentified police officers tell John McCaffrey that he can't keep his basketball hoop and pole once it's removed. He can. He may keep it once it's removed from the ground, and they don't keep their promise.
Am I still going to be allowed to keep my pole?
They've asked people if they know. They'll lay it in the driveway.
Well, I would like my pole, yes, because
they let everybody keep it.
That's not what I saw, and my neighbors didn't tell me that.
Okay, well, the law is supposed to take it, but they offered you the courtesy of letting you keep it.
All right, they offer you the courtesy of letting you keep it. Well, guess what? After the pole's removed, the same female officer from the first clip denies ever saying the McCaffrey family could keep the pole. John and his wife, Melissa, were not happy. Listen to this.
That pole's staying, please.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
What? You just told me I can keep it. You lied.
No.
You said we had the option of keeping the pole.
You can come and pick it up.
No, you didn't say that. You said I can keep my pole.
Your kids right now. Go in the house.
Listen to her telling the guy to go in the house.
I can talk
you
to
just
you.
Lied to me, officer.
You can talk to me. That's
roll
fine.
The tape back.
You know what?
You just told me we could keep that thing. And now you lied. That's
you
a great use of force and money power today.
Only
and I have the freedom to speak. It's the United States First Amendment rights to speak my will.
You know what? I can't help but feel be on the side of this the homeowner in this situation. The cops are in a bad position, but hey, here we are in the middle of tough times. Now they're taking the basketball poles off of this street because of some ordinance, some kind of either city ordinance or otherwise, and the police are doing their job. This one cop, though, made it, and I say cop, she's wearing a sweatshirt. Is she a cop?
You don't look like a cop to me. I don't know what she is.
She's telling this guy all kinds of stuff. Get back in your house, she says. Get back in. That's what really set him off. Get back in your house. Now, she did cite the guy for disturbing the peace or whatever the hell you call it. You know?
Yeah, it was like creating a disturbance or something. But, she don't want to create the disturbance, man, coming out and taking that pole.
And we were just showing a video here on our webcast that showed the wife sitting on top. To be married to a woman like that, man. To me, that's heaven. I love it. I love you to be married to a woman like that, man. She's going to climb up that pole, man. You're going to have to... The wife is on top of the pole. Now what happens is they come and they rip this pole out of the ground. And the man kept saying on the video, 60 years, he said, 60 years of history is gone. So there had been a basketball hoop going back to 1950. Am I right about it? Yeah, according to this man, in front of this home. And he says it's no more. There goes 60 years of history. But now they take the hoop. And I don't know. And they did promise him that he could have it. But you can't hear it off the video that we're watching, but I can play this again for you. Let's listen to a very good case he's making.
That pole staying, please.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
What? You just told me I can keep it. You lied. You said we had the option of keeping the pole.
You can come and pick it up.
No, you didn't say that. You said I can keep my pole.
Your kids right now. Go in the house.
Our house. We can stand out here.
You cannot talk these people.
I can talk
you
to
just
you.
Lied to me, officer.
You can talk to me. That's
roll
fine.
The tape back.
You know what?
You just told me we could keep that thing. And now you lie. That's a great use of force and money power today. And I have the freedom to speak. It's the United States First Amendment rights to speak my will.
That's true, sir. Ain't no doubt about that, man. Ain't no doubt about that. Here's where I think everything went wrong. First of all, the cop didn't handle things all that well. The cop was, go back in your house and you can have the pole. No, you can't have the pole. I mean, a little bit of sensitivity here, you know.
Well, like you say, everything's really bad these days.
Things are tough, you know. By the way, I gotta hand it to Delaware Online for posting the video. But they didn't have the wife on top of the pole. That was, you know, if you'll pardon the expression.
I was going to say, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean by that. She climbed up the telephone. Oh, so that's it, huh?
You went to all her. You go there. She climbed the pole. That you didn't even know?
Know what, man? I'm talking about the spunk. Well, I'm talking about the vigor of that woman to whatever the word is, to climb up that pole, yes, and stay there and protect it from the DelDOT workers. And she did. So there's a interesting picture of her sitting behind the backboard. But I have to tell you, the cops are within their rights because of the law. The homeowner is understandably upset because this is a something he's been fighting, and the other people of the street have too. Now along comes the city with some kind of a backloader, and there's a Delaware state cop there, and this poor this cop wants no part of this. I say uniform cop. He's got the Smokey the Bear hat on, and he's a trooper. He's a state trooper. The authority figure that's being spoken to, the woman from the state, I guess is a cop, or she's a representative of DelDOT, but she is not uniformed, but she's pushing her weight around a little bit. And she's doing it in a situation where it's really, you know, not smart. Go back in your house. You know, and no, I didn't tell you that you could keep the pole. Well, yes, you did. The man's absolutely right. So she didn't really understand what she was dealing with. I feel for the guy, you know. And I got to tell you something, man. I have been in situations like this with homeowners associations where you got to take your basketball hoop down, where the kids can't use the colored chalk on the street, where the this and the that and the something else. And people will say, well, this is such a threat to my... It's not a threat. I understand. We'll take the hoop down. Isn't there any way we can talk about it? If you don't want children playing basketball, why do you even allow children to live here? If you don't want a little girl to be using colored chalk as she draws things in the street, which is what little girls do with colored chalk, then why would you even allow a family to bring little kids here? I mean, just exactly what do you think is happening here? And I saw something, and I think this would be interesting, okay? The thing I was looking at the other day?
Yeah, you look at a history of a Central Park or something in New York?
Yeah.
Well, that the same thing that guy was saying.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Because I was looking at a history of Central Park, like Bud was saying, and how Central Park came about in the 1850s, and why Central Park, once it was built in New York, why it was not an immediate success. It was not an immediate success. Now, understand something, folks. Here is New York City, Manhattan, and by the 1850s, it was a teeming, from about the middle of Manhattan Island all the way on down. It was a teeming and congested city. It was on its way to being the city that we know today, only it didn't have the sanitation, it didn't have the building codes, it didn't have the streets. It obviously was a city that was finding its way, and they really desperately needed something like a park. And the city fathers of New York said, let's build a park right in the middle of the city. Now, they could have put up little parks like they have in London. London has little squares, the little Kensington here and the little park here and this and that. But they put this enormous park there. All right. And well, they should have. Now, they finally build this thing, and the park is open to the public. And guess what? Only the rich people go there.
What for?
Because all the rules that they make, first of all, it's so far uptown. By that, in those days in the 1850s, Central Park was pretty far uptown. Today, of course, you would think, well, Central Park's pretty well situated in the middle of Manhattan. Well, no, it wasn't back then. It was way uptown. So the poor people that lived down the Lower East Side, the Five Points, all those areas that we've become familiar with, they had to take what they called an omnibus or some kind of transportation. In those days, it cost a nickel. And if you're making a dollar a day, a nickel, that's it's a piece of change.
Dollar a day?
Yeah. So the poor folks weren't taking advantage of it, all the rich people. And the other reason why only the rich people were taking advantage of it, they had all these rules. You can't play baseball. You can't play cricket. You weren't allowed to wrestle. You weren't allowed to run. You weren't allowed to, no roughhousing. And they had all these rules that meant the only people that were really going to have any kind of a day were people who lived near there. First of all, were wealthy people living in the upper reaches of Manhattan. They would go in their horse and carriages, and they'd have their little girls all dolled up with the bows in their hair. And they would sit very politely, and they would share a tea or whatever the hell they do. But there wasn't any of the roughhousing. There was no athletics. There wasn't any real contact. And one of the reasons why they built Central Park is that one of the advantages, they felt that it would bring the poor and the wealthy together. It would bring all classes of people together, and they would interact and learn from each other, and this is true democracy, right? Well, it didn't happen like that because guess what? We had this rule and that rule and another rule over here, and you can't go here, and you can't go there, and you can't go this, you can't do that, And it just depresses people, and it keeps from happening the very things that you want to have happen, which is the interaction of human beings, the kids get some sunshine, a man can take a walk, a woman can take a walk, people get a little bit of fresh air, and they get away from the city. So these rules that we put in place thinking that they're so good for society, something we ought to rethink these. You say, well, the basketball hoop. Come on, man. 60 years, there's been a basketball hoop there. You're going to come along with a backloader and rip it out of the ground because of the this or that of the building code or the, All right.
So did they ever let the poor people in?
Yeah, they did. They relaxed the rules in Central Park. And today, of course, is evidence of that. They had to. They said, this is ridiculous. Of course you can play baseball. Of course you can walk on the grass. And they gradually learned that this was not going to is not going to work. The man who designed Central Park was a man named Olmsted, and he's a great, great landscape architect, one of the greatest. He worked on the 1893 World's Fair. He put in place the beauty that became the World's Fair in Chicago, which was one of the great success stories of all time. And he also designed Central Park. So he was a true artist. But you need more than just an artist. You need someone who understands what parks are. Frederick Law Olmsted was his name, and they had to suspend the building of Central Park briefly for the Civil War, and Frederick Olmsted went into service with the Union Army working, I believe, in sanitation or the medical corps, something like that, but then he came after the war, came out and went back to it. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we're going to wrap up here. I told you that we'd tell you about the whale. And, we'll talk about the whale at SeaWorld. He's back to work. I'm not a fan of SeaWorld, the whale, none of that, man. I'm not even a fan of the whale, I believe in animal rights, but, anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You stop.
Radio. For Patriots. By Patriots. It's the right. Phil Hendry Show. Come on. For Patriots Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to tell you about SeaWorld. Go ahead, bud. Do it.
Well, I was thinking of that lady from the Delaware Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
What if she was, like, doing Denzel Washington going, you know, like, you're all going to be playing basketball in Pelican Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about, man?
I mean, if she went and did Denzel Washington, she would put the guy back in there.
The woman's going to do a Denzel Washington in Training Day?
Yeah.
You're going to be playing basketball in Pelican Bay. Right.
Oh, are you kidding me, man?
No, she should have brought the hammer. You know, King Kong ain't got crap on me.
She ain't going to do that. I didn't even know what she was. She wasn't a cop. She was from the Department of Transportation in Delaware, and she butchered that whole situation. I mean, look, if it was me, I would have said to the guy, I'd say, sir, you know, I totally understand. It's really heartbreaking. You know, it's really heartbreaking. We're caught here with a city ordinance, you know, and I'm going to do everything I can to facilitate your request. Well, they wouldn't call me back. I'll do what I can, sir. But you know what? Right now, this thing's got to come down. And I would have left the poll. I wouldn't take the poll, you know.
No, she did say I could have the poll.
All right, SeaWorld's killer whale makes a splashy return to stage, gets a thunderous ovation, and get a load of this. We'll have to read and find out whether we're just seeing things or whether this is some kind of a joke. SeaWorld claims it was the whale's choice to perform. Thunderous applause greeted SeaWorld's Tilikum today as the killer whale returned to the theme park's big stage 13 months after grabbing trainer Dawn Brancho by her ponytail and killing her. SeaWorld officials would not specify what safety precautions were instituted, but some appeared to be obvious. Steel bars blocked the whale from the main stage, and female trainers wore their hair in high buns. Trainers also stayed out of the water and off the stages during the whale's performance. When the 12,000-pound orca made his splashy entrance, the crowd erupted in applause and cheers. It included the thrill of danger. "I was afraid," said one boy, who was splashed by the giant whale. Colleen Gorman of St. Petersburg Beach said, "I didn't see any new protective measures. He's a time bomb. If anyone gets near him, he's been linked to 3 deaths already. I'm afraid that if anybody comes close to him, he'll do it again," said Colleen. And then someone said, "Well, what are you doing here?" And she went to see if anybody gets killed. No, she didn't say that, but...
You're saying Orlando, too. You said San Diego.
I didn't say San Diego.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in Orlando. He's very, very big, said Bob Beasy of Chicago, who was pleased to see that the trainers were out of the pool. They put up bars for safety, which means the trainers are safe and we can still see those beautiful animals perform, he said. SeaWorld officials said that it was the 12,000-pound whale's choice to perform in the Believe show this morning, and that none of the park's whales are coerced to participate. In a statement, executives from SeaWorld defended Tilikum's reentry to the performing world, saying it's an important component of his physical, social, and mental enrichment. You know, SeaWorld, you can have your whale show. Who's going to stop you? But why don't you just chill out with your bull crap, okay? You people are a disgrace. Yeah, let me tell you something about whales. Do you see whales bobbing up and down in the middle of the ocean?
Uh-uh.
That's what they do at SeaWorld when they're not performing. That's a natural environment. I understand you put in safety this and safety that, and I understand. Our technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. The strong right arm here of Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night. Listen to the podcast. Listen to our classic podcast. Go into the shop and get yourself a mug. Get yourself some CDs. Just get yourself, you know, get yourself. This is Phil Hendry saying, never mind.
Phil Hendry.